to Bella's Diaries. My name is Bella, and on today's episode, we will be discussing the stress that comes with choosing a career. We will focus on the pressure put on those beginning their collegiate career and how it's important for college students to make their own decisions. On the podcast today, we'll be interviewing Caitlin Parrison, my sister who has firsthand experience with this topic. On today's podcast, we have Caitlin. To give us some background, please give us a brief overview of your college experience.
Of course. When I started college, I was a pharmacy major, and it seemed like the smart choice because everyone talked about how secure the medical field was and how great the pay would be and how I'd never have to worry about finding a job. This pressure specifically came from my family and friends because they said I'll have a stable career for life. I know they meant well because they wanted me to succeed, but deep down, I wasn't so sure. My second semester of freshman year, I knew I had to make a change, and I decided to switch majors. It wasn't easy telling my family because I was worried about disappointing them, but I had to do what was best for myself. I discovered the option of going into business as undecided, which was scary at first because business is such a broad field, but that is exactly what I needed. I took classes in marketing, finance, and even entrepreneurship, and this helped give me space to figure out what I really liked. Over time, I eventually found my passion in marketing, which is something I never would have discovered if I stayed on the pharmacy track. This decision was the best for me, and it taught me how important it is to trust myself, even when it feels like everyone else had a different plan for me.
I'm really glad that you learned that pharmacy wasn't for you and had the courage to change majors. When you were pursuing pharmacy, please explain how the pressure from family and friends made you feel.
The pressure to stick with pharmacy made me feel like I was carrying this invisible weight all the time. It wasn't just about the classes or the workload, but it was the constant reminder that people were counting on me to follow this path that they thought was best. My family talked about how proud they were of me, and this made me feel guilty because I didn't want to be a pharmacist. I also didn't want to let my family down. But the hardest part was how lonely it felt. Everyone seemed so sure of what I should do, but no one was really asking how I felt about it. And at the same time, the idea of switching to business, and especially business undecided, felt terrifying. The pressure didn't go away overnight, but after I switched, it got better. The pressure might have pushed me into pharmacy at first, but I learned to stand up for myself. And that's what taught me how to take control of my own future. And looking back, I wouldn't trade that lesson for anything.
I completely understand where you're coming from. Do you feel that you made the right decision changing majors? If so, how did this decision build your character?
Switching my major to marketing turned out to be one of the best decisions I've ever made. I found out that marketing is an amazing blend of creativity and strategy, which are two things I didn't even realize I loved until I gave myself the chance to explore them. Marketing is not just about selling a product, but it's about telling a story and connecting with people. In classes, I got to learn things like consumer behavior, branding, and digital campaigns, which really piqued my interest. Even more specifically, I enjoyed my digital marketing class, as I love being able to make digital ads on Adobe and be able to tap into my creative side. But what makes me especially proud of choosing marketing is how it challenged me to grow as a person. The pressure I felt earlier to stick with pharmacy, to follow a path that wasn't mine, wasn't easy to deal with, but I can see how much it built my character. It taught me to trust my instincts, even when it felt like everyone else had a different vision for my future. If I hadn't experienced that pressure, I don't think I would have developed the confidence that I have today. I had to learn to advocate for myself and take responsibility for my choices. That wasn't something I've ever really done before, so in a way, that pressure was a gift.
sure making the right choice wasn't easy at first, but it'll definitely be worth it in the end. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your experiences.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
That's the end of Bella's Diaries for today. Don't forget to join us next week as we will continue to discuss the important issue of college students pursuing their passion. See you next week.
Hello everyone and welcome to Learning Steps. I'm one of your hosts, Dimitro, reporting from the studio. Today we will be discussing education. To be more specific, we will be exploring the aspects of experiential learning and in-class learning. This episode will examine and elaborate on the realities of learning, whether that be inside or outside of the classroom. Just as a disclaimer, this is by no means to invalidate or minimize the importance of a formal education. On this podcast, I will also be joined by a longtime learner and friend of mine, Abby Knapp. Anyways, let's start. So on this podcast today, we will be assessing and comparing different ways and combinations of learning. To my guest, please introduce yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Abby Knapp. And I have been a student my whole life, and I'm still currently going through a lot of learning experiences as I'm a sophomore at the University of Vermont. I'm in my first semester of sophomore year. I'm a psychology major, and I'm trying to get my minor in communication and speech disorders as well.
So, Abby, what are your opinions about experiential learning?
So, in my time in school, I've had a lot of hands-on experience, and I do think that it has benefited me in my skills surrounding those specific topics. A time that I can think of is in my APES class in high school. We went outside to look at, like, examples of different rivers and different plants, and it was really beneficial in helping me fully understand the material, and it also helped me apply it outside of the classroom. And even just for small things, like when I was on walks with my parents, I was able to identify like different types of bodies of water, and it stuck with me a lot more when we did the out of the classroom learning.
Yeah, a lot of people say things like this. Encouraging the experiences outside of the classroom enhances what you learn in the classroom.
Another thing I can think of is a time when one of my psych professors, my freshman year of college, one of the opportunities for our final project was that we could go volunteer at a mental health institute, and the other option was just to write a paper. And I chose to write the paper, but I had a lot of regret at the end of the semester.
You said this was in your freshman year. Was this in your just general psychology? What kind of psychology class was it?
So it wasn't just a general class, it was a higher level class, but it was, so there was about 20 people in the class, so it was more discussion-based class. Yeah. And we talked a lot about, I don't quite remember the name of the class, but it was mainly about like mental health institutes and like applying psychology rather than learning psychology. So one of the options for the final project was to volunteer at a mental health institute. And one of my friends in the class chose to do that, but I didn't. And I remember her talking about it and saying that a lot of the things that she learned, and not even only in that psych class, just all her other psych classes, she was able to remember and apply it a lot more when she was doing the out of classroom experience, because the whole thing stuck with her better.
Oh, that's so cool. Just your freshman year in this area of learning, and you're still able to have these opportunities to have hands-on experience, like, right at the case. Like, that's a very cool experience to have. A lot of research does back up what you said, that you remember it more when you have the hands-on experience, and that's a very important skill to have. A lot of parents encourage their kids to, like, take these opportunities and have the experiential learning, because sometimes nowadays with college and schooling getting so popular and like so many people being in all of these schools and stuff, you really don't get that personalization in the classroom, and it's really important to take those opportunities because of that.
Yeah, my mom is always talking about how thankful she took, because so my mom is an elementary education major in college, so she was in a lot of smaller classes that, and she did a lot of substitute and student teaching, and she always, whenever I'm talking to her about what classes I should take for my upcoming semester, she's always encouraging me to take a lot more of those like small discussion based classes that give you the opportunity for more out of classroom experience, because she always just remembers how much more those classes stuck with her as opposed to the lectures that she just sat in for an hour and listened to the teacher talk at her.
Yeah, it's really important that in our current school systems, students find that personalization in their education and get the ability and opportunity to be hands-on and be the subject of their own learning and their own education.
Yeah, it is. And especially being in those smaller classes and getting the opportunities for hands-on learning also makes you feel more like less just like a student in a system and more like you're actually learning something that you can apply in your life. And I think that's really important, especially when it comes to using your education to get a career, because once you're just like, the experiences that you gain from out of classroom experience are so much more realistic, and they give you like that experience that you need to be successful in your future careers.
Yeah, nowadays a lot of universities are applying co-ops and other internship programs to allow their students to get that hands-on experience while still earning their degree, so that when it comes time to enter the real job market, they have that experience that they could show their future employers and get an edge on the competition.
Yeah, especially here, I've definitely noticed that, especially within the psych department, a lot of the professors are always encouraging to do internships, even like early on in college. I think a lot of people think that you have to wait until your junior or senior year to get involved in internships, but my school specifically offers, like, you can get class credit for doing an internship, which I think is a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, it's important to think about, because the systems we have today for our modern education is the same systems that have been set for years on years now. So it's important to get that development as society and as everything else develops. It's important to update systems and allow people to be successful.
Yeah, I agree. I think that originally, when when college and everything was set up, it was intended just to educate people and then they could apply it how they wanted. But I think that ensuring that for students nowadays is very helpful, because a lot of people don't realize that they have these opportunities that they can take. And I think today the education system does a lot better job of promoting those opportunities and really pushing people to get those out of classroom experiences.
Yeah, and it's also very useful, because the job market is now so competitive.
Yes, exactly. One person has more out of classroom experience, like, versus someone who just graduated with a degree, I think that the person with out of classroom experience is far more likely to be able to achieve that. Yeah. And get that job.
Okay, that's all for today, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's topic and today's insights. And Abby, thank you for joining me on this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. I really enjoyed talking about this subject. It's really important to me.
Yeah, thank you. After today's episode, to our listeners, think about you and your educational experience. Do you agree with us, or do you disagree? Have you ever had an experiential learning experience, or do you wish you have if you haven't? That's all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Welcome. I'm your host, Miles DeUlis. I'm a second year undergraduate student at the University of Connecticut. And today I'll be discussing all about the ideas of being educable. Educable has been present in my life in and out of the classroom, and today I'll take the term head on. Being educable refers to the ability and willingness to learn and grow as a person. It is not only describing the fact of being able to gain knowledge, but also the idea of being able to absorb criticism and advice to fully understand one's development. Someone that is educable can take the information that they contain and apply it to real life situations. Being educable shows traits of active engagement and desire to continuously grow as a person. Now, let's take a peek at some sources. First, we would take a look into Leslie Valiant's book, The Importance of Being Educable. He investigates aspects of evolution of human education, finding how humans stand out from one another species with their ability to learn and adapt to different environments and tasks within them. He states that educability is the capacity to achieve competence in an environment without being pre-programmed for every eventuality. Leslie goes on that topic of how when you contain the attribute of being educable, you start to understand how to handle unknown environments, adapting to them with your ability to learn. For a different perspective on this topic, I looked into Adrian Conway, a well-known CrossFit coach. In his educational video titled Be Coachable, he stated they're unwilling to do what they've never done before in order to get to a place they've never been. He dives into the term educable in an athlete's standpoint, being coachable. Educable can be seen in any aspect of life that pertains to someone doing something or learning something that is new to them. In this sense, for athletes to learn their body's possibilities in physical activity, they must be open to pushing their body to adapt to new physical challenges. Specifically, being coachable is just one of the many ways that educable is seen in life experiences. Being open and ready to learn more about knowledge of the world and themselves. To look deeper into the idea of being educable, I have my guest, Jennifer DeUlis, a real estate agent and graduate student from Franklin Pierce University. We'll go through a series of questions to get her perspective and ideas surrounding the term educable. What is the word educable from your understanding?
From my understanding, the word educable means to have the ability to learn.
Do you think you pertain the trait of being educable?
I believe that I am educable. My life has been a continuous series of learning new things in all aspects of life, from formal ballet training to obtaining a college degree, starting and running a small business, and becoming a mother, and all that that entails is all different learning experiences. Specifically, I would say the formal ballet training helped me learn a certain discipline at a young age, which then resonated in how I approached most things in my life. This experience set a foundation for keeping movement in my life, and it became very important to me to instill that in my children as well. So that early and intense education in ballet as a young child into my teenage years created a love and passion for movement and exercise that I think I'll use for a lifetime.
Are there any opportunities that you missed because you failed to be
educable? I would say that in high school, I did not educate myself on more options for college choices and opportunities. So, yes, I feel like I didn't give myself that that opportunity to take advantage of what I had in high school to do more research on finding a college that would suit my needs more and that would be a better fit for my future in regard to finding a career path. So my head just wasn't in the right place. So, yes.
How much importance does the mentor / teacher have on making the learning scene easy to become educable?
Mentor or teacher makes a huge impact on how students can be or not be educable. I would say it is not an easy job if you have a vast array of student abilities and also depends on the subject matter and the reasons for whatever it is that you're teaching. But a talented, engaging, creative teacher can make all the difference.
Do you have any ideas on how someone who is not educable to transition into an educable student?
Well, from a mentor-teacher position, I think the best way to transition someone who is not educable into an educable person is to find what they're passionate about. Also to figure out how the individual learns best and what the techniques would be that would help that person retain information and learn more easily.
Understanding who oversees being educable is a very touchy subject. I believe that the blame is neither primarily on the teacher or the student when it comes to educability, but both of them. The teacher must make the classroom open to educability, creating an encouraging environment for learning and engagement towards the students. For the student to become educable, they must take advantage of the resources that they are provided, engaging and becoming involved in education. When either party fail to provide their liveliness and engagement in the classroom, neither party will develop the ability of educability. Overall, being educable is a very important quality that is present in the classroom and applies to all areas of life related to education, personal and professional. Educable pertains to not only being able to gain knowledge, but also to develop yourself from directed feedback. It is a commitment to learning and development as a person, needed in life to adapt to new challenges and environments. Having this ability can lead us to a path of reaching new limits and developing as an individual. I hope from this you will retain some ideas of being educable and be able to apply them to your daily learning life. Thank you for tuning into my podcast. It's been a pleasure. Stay educable.
This is Michaela, and today we are going to be discussing the stress and anxiety that come with beginning college and the effects that stress has on us students. Here's a quote from the article, Why Students Are Skipping Class So Often and How to Bring Them Back. It states, one of the questions I asked on the survey was how attending versus skipping class affected their mental health. The obvious answer seemed to be that attending class would make them feel better. I found in my own life that doing what needs to be done helps steady my boat when it threatens to capsize. But I wanted to know if I was right, and I was. Also on the pod, I will be discussing this topic with a few floor mates of mine and their opinions and experiences with stress in college. So, today we are here with...
Gabby,
Anna,
Michaela,
and Flora!
So, what are your guys' experiences with stress and anxiety in college so far, and have you guys noticed any change in behavior from it?
I didn't go to class for about 2 weeks, and I think it was mainly me having a lack of motivation, but also my bio class evokes a lot of anxiety because it's hard school's hard. So I think that also had to do with me not wanting to go. And so I just didn't show up to class for 2 weeks. But I'm slowly coming back. And we're going to be on break soon. So I think that will help get me back into my school groove.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like with the lectures too, especially with like some of the science ones, they can be like bigger. They're like 200 or 300 students in them. And I feel like that was a really big adjustment from like high school classrooms where it's like 15 to 20 kids per class. And I feel like that can bring out a lot of anxiety. I feel like I've been able to adjust, but I know some of my friends have struggled to adjust to that. And like, it's not a good learning environment for them. Like, they feel like they can't learn when they're in such a large group like that, which causes them even more anxiety, which causes them not to want to go either. So yeah, I feel like it was a big adjustment with the lectures, and that just added the anxiety of college.
I believe in stress. I think stress is actually helpful and useful, and we need stress in our life. Like, without stress, we wouldn't be motivated to, like, learn for our tests and, like, our exams. Like, without stress, we'd just be, like, living our life just doing not school stuff, and stress makes us motivated. I'm pro-stress.
Preach.
I would say I've been kind of stressed and also very anxious being here, but it's not anything debilitating. It's just, like, I guess I kind of agree. It's, like, a healthy amount of stress. And I will say I have, like, a lot of anxiety surrounding just school and, like, just the learning environment. My high school was a lot different, so it was also a big adjustment for me. But I found that trying not to procrastinate my work, which is kind of difficult for me, but I'm trying to lock in. and also not being afraid to advocate for myself and ask for help has kind of helped me also. And I've been able to get a lot of good advice from my advisor and my tutor, and going to SI, just stuff like that has helped me.
Yeah, so for me, I feel like some of my classes aren't really, like, hard because the exams are open note and stuff, but one of my classes, which is psych, and that's my major, but it's, like, super hard, like, the exams and stuff. So I'm always stressed from that class. And I have, like, such a big workload in that class and stuff, and I'm always studying for it, and I still don't get, like, really good grades. But from all, like, the stress and the workload I have, like, I've been skipping class, too. So I feel like that's not good. And I would never skip class in high school either. So yeah. I feel like this is, like, all very new, like, because it's our first year in college. So we're just, like, adjusting and stuff. I feel like it's easier to skip classes without supervision. So, yeah.
You know what I realized? That in college, like, since we are here in the past, like, 10 or something weeks, like, there are, like, 2-3 weeks when we have so much schoolwork to do, yeah. And then for, like, yeah. 2 weeks, there is, like, literally nothing to do, yeah. And then 4 weeks, 4 weeks is, like, super chill, and then 2 weeks is, like, every single exam in class.
Yeah.
All my exams have been on, like, the same week.
So. Yes.
Yeah, like, after break, I have, like, a full week of tests, like, multiple tests a day, and then we have finals, and it's just all clumped together, and I don't really understand why they make it like that, because it's so, like, you're so riddled with anxiety because you want to do good on every single test, or do well, sorry, on every single test. But when you have so many, it's so hard to, like, I don't know, like, take out time to, like, master the skills in every single class, if you know.
Yeah. Yeah, plus I feel like for you, like, that timing really sucks, because I feel like the professors could work a little bit better, like, not having them all after break, because I feel like the whole point of break is to, like, take a break and to, like, decompress and, like, not worry about school. But I feel like, yeah, if you have an exam every day of the week after break, then, like, obviously you're not gonna be on break just wanting to take a break. You'd be like, I should be studying, I should be doing this, I could do that, and I could do this, when really it's all about, like, spending time with your family and just, like, taking a moment to yourself to, like, not be worried about school.
Yeah, especially after break, you're not going to want to do anything.
So as I mentioned earlier, I believe the stress is, like, super helpful and helpful. But I don't believe that every single person has anxiety. Like, every time someone's like, oh, I'm anxious about the test, I have anxiety. Of course, you are stressed before an exam, stressed for an assignment, but you don't have anxiety. Anxiety is like a sickness or like an illness or something. Like, obviously, there are people who are like medicated for it, but not every other person has anxiety. Like, that's just not true. And it just, I don't know, I think it's so annoying, man. Like, you talk with 10 people and all 10 of them, like, it's like, oh my gosh, I have such big anxiety. Like, of course, like, 2 out of 10 people are like, I don't know the statistics, someone has anxiety, but not every single person.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to express these feelings.
I think, like, being anxious is, like, common. So, I definitely agree that not, like, if you get anxious before a test or if you're speaking in front of a room or something like that, that's a big thing in your life. I would understand that you feel anxious. Like, obviously, I was feeling very anxious before moving in for college and, like, being in a new environment and stuff like that. But definitely, like, when you're, like, when you have, like, anxiety, it just gets in the way of, like, normal things that, like, normal people wouldn't get anxious about. And so I definitely agree that people just say that before, like, an exam or something. And it's, like, it's definitely normal to feel like that and just be nervous about something. But I think, at least for me, some ways I'm not trying to be as anxious are, like, taking breaks when I'm, like, studying or, like, making time to spend with my friends and just doing things that I like to do and doing my hobbies and just taking breaks, I would say, really helps.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes, like, when we're stressed from certain things, like how you're stressed about, like, moving in and then, like, exams and stuff, that causes us to do things, like, sometimes we just, like, sleep and not think about everything that we have to do, like, all the work and the exams and stuff. And then we skip class, and then we're missing new material that's probably going to be on the other exams. And it's just not good. Like, we need to stop.
But it's hard. It's hard to adjust to everything, especially when you're just put into the situation with an all-new environment and all-new people and all-new classes and all-new work. It's just a lot.
Suck it up.
And suck it up.
Okay. I like that term.
I feel like it's hard too because, like, we don't have the people. Because, like, when you obviously, like, when you go, when you're in high school, like, if you miss too many days, like, they send emails home to your parents. Or, like, if you're not doing good in class, like, they email your parents. So it's like you kind of have that, like, outer, that external motivation to, like, make you go to class, make you perform well. But yeah, when you're in college, it's like you could fail a class and it's like your parents would never know. And, like, it's like you don't have that extra pressure. It's like all, you have to, like, find it within yourself, which I feel like, yeah, it's hard to do, especially when you get into, like, that cycle of, yeah, maybe you didn't do good on a test, so then, like, you don't want to study for the next one, or you don't want to go to class for the next one, and then you don't do good again, then, yeah, like, you get stuck in that cycle, and I feel like it's really hard to break without that support system of your parents.
Do you feel more independent since you're in college? Like, actually?
I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way really? More.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to, like rely on my mom for everything.
Me too.
I did too.
Like, insanely.
I feel like I've learned to, like, speak up for myself, kind of.
Yeah.
I guess. But yeah.
No, no, like, my mom's an English major. She was an English major. So, like, for, like, papers in high school, I would always have her, like, proofread or at least to help me get an idea or, like, an outline together. But, like, I haven't done that since being here, and so it takes me much longer to fill out an essay and do an essay, and that's stressful, but you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations to improve. So kind of like how Flora said, stress, like, is helpful.
The umbrella term or the actual stress?
Huh?
Are we talking about the umbrella term or the actual stress?
What do you mean?
Like, the anxiety? Or
yes.
Like, the actual stress?
No, the stress.
Oh.
Like, how you said stress is helpful.
I believe in stress.
I do too. I feel like I'm more...
I don't feel more independent with the schoolwork, like as I used
yeah.
to was. I just feel more independent in my actual life outside of school. Like, it's so crazy. I can go outside after 11 p.m. in boarding school, I wasn't allowed to leave the building. Not even, no,
crazy.
I wasn't even allowed to leave the floor.
Oh, my God. what's so weird. I feel like I feel the same school-wise and, like, home-wise. I don't even know. I don't... I mean, that might have to do with, like, the way my family is structured at home. As far as, like, just having, like, a single parent. So, like, being there a lot for her. So, yeah, I feel like I feel the same. But it's crazy because some of these kids don't know how to do their laundry. I'm like, not at all. We got to get it together. We got to teach these kids some manners, some home
social awareness.
Social awareness.
Oh, some people are still behind.
It's so crazy. They don't even know how to make the bed. They don't know how to work the toaster. They're breaking their hands with the bagels. It's crazy.
So yeah, bagels.
So basically, college does cause a lot of stress and anxiety. And that does cause us to act certain ways.
Like
maybe
skip class.
Acting out, skipping class,
sleeping
taking
in.
Way more naps than usual. But yeah, that's the end of the episode for today. Don't forget to join us next week as we continue to discuss developments in college education and experience. Bye!
Yeah. Bye.